Would everyone in the Senate, as well as our guests in the upper gallery, please rise for a prayer by Reverend Gawk, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
From the 25th chapter of Proverbs, we hear, "A word fitly spoken is like gold." Wondrous God, help us this day to talk with you, our God. Help us learn the power and the majesty of words that are spoken and how we hear them. Let our conversations flow from our heart so that what we say is always the truth that reflects who we are and what we are intended to be. So guide us this day, O Lord, on the path that we are meant to take, and our words reflect what we discover about you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Arthur, Bean, Beck, Bernsketter, Bratton, Brown, Burleson, Searpoy, Crawford, Igel, Esslinger, Gannon, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Lucht-Meyer, May, Moon, Mosley, O'Loughlin, Onder, Razor, Riddle, Rizzo, Roberts, Rowden, Schatz, Shoup, Thompson Rader, Washington, White, Whelan, Williams.
A quorum has been established. The Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, seventh day, Tuesday, January 18, 2022. The Senate met pursuant.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the message from the Senator of Boone County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Boone renews his motion that the reading of the journal be waived, but it be approved as though having been fully read. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have approved the journal. Introduction of guests, the senator from Platt County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on my right and your left, I have one of my constituents here with me today, Todd Nixon from Parkville. Todd, if you'd like to stand up. He is here for confirmation to the Amber Alert Oversight Committee and will be appearing in front of the Gubernatorial Appointments Committee here shortly. I'd ask that the Senate join me in making Todd feel
Let's
very welcome.
Let's make this guest from Parkville, Missouri, welcome in the Senate today. Introduction of guests, the senator from the 1st District.
Introduction of special guests.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. To my right and your left, I have Andrew Young and Heather Beckett that are here today. This is going to be a non-controversial statement. Andrew Young was the best intern to ever grace the halls of the Capitol, and I'd like the body to welcome him today. Thank you.
Let's welcome this intern to the Capitol Senate today. Senator from the 7th District.
Introduction of special guests.
Proceed.
Mr. President, to your left and my right, I want to introduce what I'm sure will be the second best intern to ever grace the Capitol, Henry Albright, originally from Lebanon, Missouri. He is a student, a sophomore at the University of Missouri, majoring in political science and constitutional democracy, and will be assisting our office this year. He's doing a great job already, and I hope the Senate will make him full welcome.
Let's welcome Mr. Albright to the Missouri Senate. Senator from the 14th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would also like to introduce a constituent and a very good friend of mine who is also up for confirmation to the Board of Regents for Harris Stowe State University. If we can welcome Valerie Patton, who now serves as the Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer and President for the Greater St. Louis, Inc. Foundation. She was recently appointed to the Harris Stowe. Could we, Mr. President, could we get some order?
If we could take our conversations to the side gallery or keep the volumes to a minimum so we can hear the senator from the 14th introduce his guest.
Valerie also formerly worked with the St. Louis Regional Chamber, serving as Senior Vice President of Economic Inclusion, Workforce Development Strategies, and Executive Director of the Chambers of St. Louis Business Diversity Initiative. She's also an adjunct professor at Washington University Brown School of Social Work, with previous adjunct professorship experience at Harris Stowe College, St. Louis Community College, Forest Park. She serves on the board of United Way Greater St. Louis, Urban League of Metropolitan St. Louis, Washington University Brown School Regional Steering Committee for Homegrown STL, and the Howard University School of Business. As you know, this is a well-esteemed woman. I was practicing for my sponsorship for gubernatorial appointments, and I figured this would be a good time. If we could recognize my friend Valerie Patton, I would highly appreciate it. Thank you so much, Mr. President.
Let's welcome Valerie to the Missouri Senate today. The senator from Dallas County.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my pleasure today to introduce some special guests. I have visiting today with me the Hermitage Hornets boys cross country team, who placed placed first in Class 1 state championship on November the 6th of last year, and I'm going to introduce each one of them, and if you guys want to stand up, that would be great, or wave. So we have Bennett Mantooth, Justin Horn, Dewan Chambers, Justice Yates, Kaven Wright, Bradley Forrest, Jason Hickey, and also Wesley Martin and Gabriel Montejo. One more, Trenton Pyatt. That left you out. Sorry, Trenton. And also head coach Mark Sabala. Would you please help me congratulate them and welcome them to the Missouri Senate?
Let's welcome these champions to the Missouri Senate today. Introduction of guests, the senator from Andrew County.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have some very special guests here today. To your left and to my right, our right, in the lower gallery, we have three guests from the great county of Andrew in the great northwest part of the state. We have Shane Terhune, who's been our surveyor in Andrew County for many years. He's out here to be confirmed as part of the survey board here. His wife, Shelley Terhune, who has the luxury of working with me at the company known as Evergy. And she does a fine job. We've been great friends for a long time. And then we also have Brian Atkins, Brian B.A. Atkins, might I say, former sheriff of Andrew County, who is now to be confirmed and go before the gubernatorial appointments board to go on the board of probation and parole. These fine three Andrew Countyans are here today to celebrate in the Capitol and to be confirmed, two of them to be confirmed. I would ask that the body welcome them to the Capitol.
Let's welcome these folks from Andrew County to the Missouri Senate today. Introduction of guests, the senator from Cass County.
Thank you, Mr. President. To my right, your left, on the side gallery, we have two fine elected officials from my district, Jeff Fletcher, Cass County clerk, as well as Rick Watson, Henry County clerk. I would love for the body to make them feel welcome and thank them for all that they do on our elections. So
let's welcome these folks from Cass and Henry County to the Missouri Senate today. Introduction of guests. Petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, may I inquire of the senator from the 2nd?
Senator from the 2nd, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator, for the inquiry. I won't I won't belabor too many extra points this morning, but I thought it might be a good moment for the Senate to take a little bit of a pause and talk about an issue that is looming over this building right now. And actually, the House is actually in the process of taking action on this issue, and that is the process of redistricting.
Right.
There are, unbelievably, about to take a vote on a map over in the lower chamber that I think is completely out of step with the values and perspectives of the people of the state. But what's more disturbing to me is the dishonesty that is being spread about the redistricting process. And so, briefly, I'd like to go over some of those major items with you, so that when the debate moves to this chamber, hopefully we aren't burdened by some of the dishonesty that's been spread in the lower chamber. One of the things,
if the people if the Republicans in the Missouri House want to pass what we know to be a 5-3 map, they should be honest about it.
Right.
They should have the courage of their convictions. And they say, "Hey, I'm for 5-3 map."
Right.
But I think, you're about to lead me through a handful of inaccuracies bordering on outright distortions.
Right. Exactly.
I won't use the L word, but there's the misrepresentation of the process,
exactly,
of the law, and of statistical realities just are mind-boggling.
You know, there's basically three areas of what I feel is dishonesty about the process that I'd like to touch on. The first is the idea that in order to enact a map, we must have an emergency clause amended to the legislation that we pass. In other words, it would take supermajorities of both chambers to come to an agreement on such a map so that it would go into effect soon enough that it would be applicable to the November election. But as is evident by when I describe a November election, the November general election is not until November.
Yes.
And so if we don't have an emergency clause on whatever bill passes both of our chambers, it'll go into effect on August 28th, which is more than enough time, and this is per the Secretary of State's office, to have those maps active and in place for the general election in the first week of November. Now,
well, no question about that, Senator. Mm-hmm. And as of the day that the map is passed and signed, every congressional candidate will know what the maps are.
Exactly.
And they'll be able to run in their districts. They'll be able to gather their data, knock their doors, get their volunteers activated, and so on. So, the idea that we will not have a valid map unless we have 2/3 of both chambers for an emergency clause, that was specious to begin with.
Right. Now, why is this dishonesty out there? I believe this dishonesty is out there because there is an attempt on the part of some of the members of the legislature that want to try to appease some of the minority elements within both of these chambers to get a more favorable map for certain special interests that, quite honestly, I don't think reflect the values and opinions of the people of the state. So, by saying that we got to have 2/3, even if it's not true, you are creating an environment that is going to push for a map that may not reflect what the people of the state actually want. So it's a dangerous dishonesty, and I wanted to take, that's the first of the three.
Well, and I think they almost had some of us going for a while, because what we heard a number of times is, well, maybe we could have gotten 2/3 of both chambers back in, say, September, October, if only the governor had called a special session. But now a few members have left the Missouri House for various reasons. We no longer have a supermajority of Republicans in the Missouri House. So we've got to get a map that the Democrats will agree with, too, and that's how we'll get the emergency clause.
Right.
And regarding the emergency clause, I would almost add, I don't know what the third read vote's going to go like today.
Right.
But yesterday on the perfection vote, the yeses on the 5-3 map, the yeses were only 84. Now, maybe they'll get more on third read, but they're nowhere near the 2/3 of the chamber.
Correct.
So,
the emergency clause is about to become a non-issue.
Yeah, but that used
that
to be
argument.
That
is
used
be
to be
non-issue.
Argument number. That used
That's
to
right.
be argument number one.
Number one. Yeah. Number one. That's the first of the three dishonesties. Then there's the second of the three dishonesties, Senator, and that has to do with the idea that the court system, either the state or the federal courts, will step in and overrule the legislature's jurisdiction to draw these congressional maps. That's dishonesty number two. And I want to point out, Senator, I think you'll agree, the court system, the state and federal courts, have no jurisdiction to draw congressional maps.
They don't. And
I'll tell you, every map that I've seen so far, whether it's a 7-1 or a 6-2 or the 5-3 that's going through the House right now, has complied with the Federal Voting Rights Act.
Right.
Has complied with all relative state regulations. So in that case, there is no jurisdiction for the courts to intercede and step in and try to draw those maps. If they do, then we have a question of a conversation about the separation of powers between the judicial and the legislative branch.
Yes.
And if we have to have that conversation, Senator, I'm ready to have that conversation. What about you?
Bring it on. Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. That is the narrative we've heard over and over again. After first the bogus narrative about needing an emergency clause, now we have this bogus narrative about the courts drawing the maps for us. And yes, and again, the only jurisdiction, as you pointed out, under federal law would be the Voting Rights Act.
Right.
And that jurisdiction, of course, that law might stand for the premise that that CD1 is a majority-minority district,
right,
and therefore it cannot be dispensed with. It cannot
Correct.
Be divided up in a way as to take that seat away from the Democrat who currently occupies that.
Correct.
I think that's true. But not a single map I've seen,
Correct.
Drawn by the House,
not
drawn
one.
By the Senate,
drawn by Republicans or Democrats.
Drawn by Republicans or Democrats, messed with that majority-minority district.
Right.
And therefore, that is the one legal argument. 7-1, 6-2, 5-3, none of them are a problem under federal law, under the Voting Rights Act.
That's right. Okay, so let me cover the third dishonesty. The third dishonesty that is being not publicly driven, but I think is privately driven, is that we have to have a fight about this. All right? And I have spoken at length.
And we have to have a what?
That have to have a fight about this.
A fight
There's
about
no
this.
Need for
right.
a fight about this. There have been multiple compromises that I have seen floated on both sides of the partisan divide that would avoid most, if not all, of the fights that may take place in this chamber.
Right.
I have repeatedly encouraged our floor leader to look into those compromises so as to avoid unnecessary floor action here in the Missouri Senate floor. And to this date, instead of doing that, we have put forward and got an endorsement by our floor leader of a map that very few Republicans in this state, I think, are going to agree with outside of this building.
Well,
so,
and I would
I don't know why it has to be that way.
And I would add, Senator, that almost no members of this chamber have been involved in.
Right.
You and I both were appointed by the pro tem to the Senate Redistricting Committee.
Correct.
And yet somehow on New Year's Eve, the Friday of a holiday weekend, we had the House and the Senate redistricting chairman announcing that they had a map that was fair and so on, and that it was a good map. And so I spoke to both of those members and asked them, like, look, what's the deal with this map? We haven't even neither the House nor the Senate has held a single committee hearing yet.
Right.
And I've been visiting with both of them for months about what I would like to see this map look like. And I said, I think I said to both of them, I have the feeling the fix is in. And both of them said, no, this is just a placeholder. This is just a placeholder. It's going to be a subject of ongoing discussion, amendment in committee and on the floor. And because I expressed right away the concern that it was a 5-3 map.
Right.
And the... again, it's just a placeholder. It's just a starting point. We wanted to get something on paper so we know where to start. And yet, with the exception of a little fix for the city of, I believe it was Raymore, that map perfected by the House yesterday was nearly identical to what I called the fixes in map that was rolled out on 1231. So it seems, I don't know who all was involved in that map, but it seems like a very small number of people closed doors have written a map.
And potentially a consultant.
Well, I think consultants do have a role in this. I think it is. I think the consultants get in the room and, you know, they say, well, you got to do this. But it is an end around of the democratic process and the committee process that we go through every 10 years. Because I was not involved directly. I wasn't in the legislature 10 years ago. But former Senator Dempsey, former Senator Roop, both from our county, were very involved in that process. Good friend of ours, Speaker Tim Jones, was very involved in that process. And I've talked to people involved 20 years ago in that process. It wasn't like this. It wasn't like this. And so to justify the product of the House Redistricting Committee and to justify the process that has been used or abused, we've had this series of misrepresentations about process and about what the law is.
Right. And the question is, why have we seen these series of misrepresentations? Well, the answer is because there are a couple powerful special interests backed by a couple powerful consulting firms in this state that want to see a particular partisan divide in those maps that actually is very outstep with what I think the people of Missouri want.
Yes.
So it's frustrating.
I think, you know, we are talking about a state that elects two-thirds of the members of both bodies, of the both legislative bodies, two-thirds Republican to both bodies. We have definite communities of interest that have been divided by this map, this 5-3 right. map. I just think we are looking, I keep coming up with new things to call it. I think it's the lemming map that we have lemmings ready to run over the side of the cliff to their own destruction.
Yep.
I don't know who's thinking and whose interests are being served by this map, but I know for sure it's not the people of the state of Missouri.
Senator, would you concur with the assessment that the people of this state, at a significant majority, want their federal delegation to push back on the agenda of Joe Biden in Washington, D.C.? Would you concur with that, that the people of this state want to push back on Joe Biden?
I think there's no question. It's not even close.
So why would a supermajority of Republicans in the House actually vote on a map that will increase support for the Joe Biden agenda in Washington, D.C.? Why would they do that? I mean, that just strikes me as bizarre.
It's bizarre in the extreme. It's bizarre in the extreme, and I don't get it. This is the 5-3 map that was perfected yesterday, and there may very well be a floor debate going on right now. It is the Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi map. There's no question about it. It's going to result within a couple of election cycles of Missouri sending 3 members of Congress to Washington, D.C., who are anti-life, who are anti-Second Amendment, who would vote for House Bill 1
right.
to federalize and permanently enshrine election fraud into the laws of our country.
Yep.
Who would continue this COVID reign of terror that we have been faced with. Who on issue after issue, who would continue the war on affordable energy, continue to pass legislation that is resulting in inflation bordering on hyperinflation, that sell us out, our allies out abroad. So this, I don't know what consultants talk to what legislators to produce this Pelosi-Biden map that the House has in front of them right now. But it is not the people of the state of Missouri. I don't know what values are advanced by that map, but they are not the values of the state of Missouri.
Senator, one last thing, and I want to be respectful of the time of our colleagues. One last thing I'll ask you. Do you believe the type of appeasement that is being shown to these special interests that don't reflect the values of this state. Do you think that same type of appeasement is going to be shown by the majorities in other states when the roles are flipped between the partisan divide?
Well, Senator, that's not a hypothetical question. We already know it's going on. It's going on in California. It's going on in New York. It's going on in Minnesota. It's going on right across the river in the state of Illinois, where two Republican congressional seats are being drawn into, are being turned into Democrat seats. Senator, this is the Neville Chamberlain map. This is the peace in our day with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden map. I don't know how it's going to garner a single third read vote from a Republican in the Missouri House of Representatives. And I'll tell you right now, Senator, I will be disappointed with every House member, every Republican House member who votes for this map.
Very good. Well, Senator, I know that there are a couple of senators that need to take care of some business.
Yes.
I appreciate the inquiry.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
The order of business is introduction of bills. The Senator from the Ninth.
Mr. President, could we possibly allow the Senator from the Ninth to introduce some special guests who just was able to get over here?
Are you seeking unanimous consent to introduce a special guest, Senator?
I am, Mr. President.
Hearing no objection, please proceed.
Mr. President, to my right and your left are some very special people from my district, from the newly accredited Kansas City, Missouri Public School. We have our superintendent, Mark Bedell, wave your hand. Board members, Manny Arbaca and Jennifer Woolsey, our wonderful supportive parents. And it's very important that our student, Sydney Richardson, please stand. She is a senior at Lincoln Academy. When I was there, it had a longer name, Lincoln Academy for Accelerated Study. I think it's Lincoln Prep now. Let's give a warm welcome to them, especially Ms. Richardson, who will be attending Yale University in the fall, which is what our college prep and our number one high school in the state of Missouri should be demonstrating. I'd like a warm welcome from our guest from the Kansas City, Missouri Public School District.
Let's welcome these folks from the Kansas City Public School District and Mrs. Richardson. Congratulations on your future. The order of business is introduction of bills. Introduction of bills. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
I will do that, and there's no explanation needed, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 1074, introduced by Senator Hageman, an act relating to broadband internet infrastructure.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Franklin County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could you please refer SCR 30 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics?
Senator from Franklin, we need a motion from the Senator from Boone first. Senator from Boone? Any further introduction of bills? Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of second reading of concurrent resolutions.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be second reading of concurrent resolutions. And Senator from Franklin.
Try this once more, Mr. President. Could you please refer SCR 30 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics?
Senator, the Secretary will read the title, and then we will do the referral.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 30, an act relating to an application to Congress for the calling of an Article 5 convention of states to propose an amendment to the United States Constitution regarding term limits for members of Congress.
Resolution and ethics.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the order of business is announcements. Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Upon adjournment, your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments will meet within 5 minutes or 3 minutes, as soon as thereafter we can get to that room. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator, your speed to get to the room might be different than other speeds. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, an announcement, please. Your Committee on Seniors, Families, Veterans, Military Affairs will meet 5 minutes after adjournment in SCR1.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements? Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2:30 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2:30 p.m. this day.